heard the most beautiful music. I'm on my way to Sandy Creek and, oh, here are the singers. Was that you producing that beautiful music and the harpsichord? My goodness, outstanding. I've never heard that song before. Does it have a title? And? Battle Hymn of the Republic. Oh, the Republic. If only we could live in a republic. Our prayers and our dreams are for a republic where the power is not vested in the crown, but with the people. Continue, my friends. I apologize that I have interrupted. Continue with your beautiful, beautiful music. Oh, I see you have an audience. I see you have a lot of people here. And so all of you have come here for the musical concert?
No, sir. We're all Christians and we're here to worship.
You are Christians and you have gathered to worship?
Yes, sir. We're all Baptist.
Baptist. I don't see a cleric from the Church of England. Young man, do you realize that not having the Church of England represented and the fact that you're a Baptist, it is illegal for you to be here? Yes. This is not a legal gathering. Are you all Baptist? You are? You're Baptist? Are you Baptist? You're Baptist? I must tell you, I too am a Baptist. And my concern comes from my experience. I must tell you, dear people, we are in deep trouble for our gathering here today, for we are violating the laws of the colony. And it behooves me to ask, is there a representative of the government in the house? Is there anyone here who represents the colony?
I'm with the local city council.
Yes, sir. Are you friend or foe?
Well, I'm your friend.
My friend, and on the council, so you have been appointed by the crown.
Appointed by the crown?
By the crown, yes.
Oh, no, no, no. I was elected by the people.
Elected by the people? You are a member of the ruling council.
Yes, sir.
You have been elected by the people, and you are a friend of the Baptist.
You're right.
Sir, I would remind you of the Edict of 1643 that forbids the preaching of religion, either publicly or privately, except for licensed clergy of the Church of England. And you are a member of the ruling council, elected by the people, and a friend of the very group that is forbidden by the law.
Well, sir, that law has been repealed.
Are you certain?
Very certain. The only laws we have now protect us in a gathering like we're doing here.
Amazing. Is there another member of the council in the room?
Yes, sir. I am a member of the council.
Are you friend or foe?
I am your friend, sir.
You know, I think, did you not read from the Holy Writ earlier? Now, have you been appointed by the crown or elected by the people?
I have been elected by the people, sir.
And there is no law that forbids our gathering here today?
No, sir, there's not.
Thank you, sir. It is not that I doubt the word of these fine gentlemen, but I must ask, if there is a magistrate, a member of the judiciary in this house.
Here in the balcony, sir.
Yes, up in the loft. I see you up there. You, sir, obviously have been appointed by the crown.
Oh, no, sir. I've been elected by the people, as well as my predecessor, Judge Hubert Ollie and Judge George Fuller.
elected by the people, and you, sir, appointed by the crown?
No, sir. For my retirement, I was elected by the people 4 different times.
I am astounded. Well, sir, as a magistrate of the people, I am compelled to ask, is it illegal for these Baptists to meet here today? Sir, if what you're telling me is true, then this is revolutionary. Forgive me, my lack of decorum. I failed to introduce myself. My name is Ireland, the Reverend James Ireland. I have neither been appointed by the crown or elected by the people. I am called by God to preach the powerful good news of Jesus Christ. I was baptized by Brother Samuel Harris over at Sandy Creek. Some of you may know Brother Harris. You may know that he was baptized by Daniel Marshall. You know Brother Marshall. He was the pastor of the Abbots Creek Baptist Church, the brother-in-law of Shubal Stearns. After Brother Harris was baptized, I was his first convert, the first man who was baptized and ordained by Sandy Creek. Brother Harris, in the ordination, when he came down and laid his hands on me, the prayer that he prayed, he said, "Blessed are the persecuted, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Well, Brother Harris knew about persecution. There was a time that he was preaching and there was a mob that intervened with clubs and whips and knives. And there was another time, the worst time, Brother Harris was actually in the pulpit. And there was a ruffian who came and grabbed him by the hair of his head and dragged him about. They tried many things on me, but that was one persecution that was not possible. I see you Baptists have a sense of frivolity. He said, "Do you know what you're getting into, Brother Ireland?" And I said, "Yes, I think, but I didn't know. I carry this with me." This was in the Virginia Gazette in 1771 to show you how Baptists were regarded by the people. There was an article, a recipe to make a Baptist preacher in 2 days. "Take the herbs of hypocrisy and ambition, the spirit of pride, the seed of dissension and discord, and the roots of stubbornness and obstinacy, and a pint of the spirit of self-conceitedness. This will make the schismatic endeavor to maintain his doctrine, to wound the church, to delude the people, to justify their proceedings of illusions, to foment rebellion, and to call it by the name of liberty of conscience." Oh, I knew that Baptists were not highly regarded by the people. But I was preaching up in Culpeper County, and we had a glorious meeting. I was speaking on that passage in Ephesians, don't you know? "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast." And we were having a wonderful service. The Spirit was moving. People were convicted of their deprivation. When suddenly I heard a rustling behind me, and there was a mob of people who came, and then the magistrate was there. He demanded to know what I was doing. I said, "Well, sir, I am preaching the gospel." He said, "By whose authority?" I said, "By the authority of the creator of heaven and earth, the author of the gospels." And he said, "Show me your credentials." I had credentials. I had an ordination that was signed by Brother Samuel Harris, Brother Daniel Marshall, Brother Shubal Stearns, and 8 other Baptist ministers. I showed them to this magistrate and he laughed. He said, "This is useless unless it is signed by the Bishop of London." And they gave me a choice. He said, "You can either be silent for 12 months or go to prison." Well, I thought in the book of Acts, you remember when Simon Peter, when they gave him the option, they told him to be silent, to not speak the name of Jesus. You remember what he said? "We cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." I was not about to be silent. So they put me in prison, in Culpeper. Well, the people followed me. And for the first few days, outside of the window, I continued to proclaim the gospel. But then the authorities had horsemen to ride through the multitude of people who had gathered, injuring some of those people. And then things got much worse. One night, I was actually singing a hymn when there was an explosion. They tried to blow me up. But they didn't use enough gunpowder, so I continued to sing. There was another time they set a fire. It was some sort of toxic acid smoke, but I found a crack in the floor, and I managed to breathe. But then the worst thing was a local physician conspired with the jailer. They poisoned my food. I had only eaten a little and became ill, and thank goodness, thank the Lord Jesus, I survived. But the most amazing thing happened in prison. I began to realize that I was not alone, that I was there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was when I thought of the passage that prisons would palaces prove if the Lord Jesus would dwell there. And so I started to write letters of encouragement and called it "From My Palace in Culpeper." Well, then the Lord continued to work. They put a man in my cell, a European, a big Irish Catholic, thinking he would put a stop to this heretic. Oh, he was an evil man. But I had the nice ladies bringing me food since I could not eat the food that was poisoned. And I shared it with this man, and soon he became my friend. And before long, we were singing hymns together, and we were praying together. And one night, I saw him on his knees asking the Lord Jesus to remove his darkness and depravity, and he accepted Jesus. And then, one day, some men had come in and were seeking to humiliate me when I heard the jailer ask them for some shillings. He needed some shillings to buy supplies. Well, after the men left, I called the jailer over and I said, "How much do you need?" And I gave him the money. From that day on, life was better. And then it was in 1770. I was finally released. I was allowed to go to Williamsburg to appeal before the governor. And do you know what the governor did? The governor of the colony? The governor gave me a license to preach. And I went back to Culpeper, where the persecutions resumed. They paid no attention to what the governor had said. A group of men tried to throw me into a river and drown me, telling me they were baptizing me. The persecutions against the Baptists started in 1768. They continued to the outbreak of the Revolution. But this is how God works. In 1868, there were only 5 Baptist churches in 1768. Only 5 Baptist churches. In 6 years, that had multiplied to over 50. And at the outbreak of the Revolution, there were over 10,000 Baptists. And dear Baptist, I want you to know that the very first religious group to endorse the battle for freedom and independence, to endorse patriotism and the revolution, was the Baptist. 60 Baptist churches signed a resolution in 1775, 1 year before the Declaration of Independence. It was the Baptist who were first and foremost for the fight for freedom. Because we know what it's like to be persecuted. We know what it's like for the magistrate to say you have no authority. We know what it's like to believe that we're living in violation of the law. It was after the revolution that Mr. Jefferson, writing a letter to a Baptist association, talked about the wall of separation between church and state. And it was with the influence of the Baptists that Mr. Jefferson authored the bill, the Statue for Religious Freedom in Virginia. And do you know when Mr. Jefferson died, there were three things he requested on his tombstone. He was the author of the Declaration of Independence. He was the author of the Statute for Religious Freedom. And he was the father of the University of Virginia. He considered that more important than the fact he had been elected by the people to be the president of the republic. And then Mr. James Madison, who was influenced by my good friend John Leland, authored in the Bill of Rights the very first amendment to the Constitution that guarantees the freedom for Baptists like us to gather and to worship without interference of the government. It is the separation of church and state. It is the freedom that we cherish so very much. But then you people know about freedom. Because you see, it wasn't far from here that there was a Baptist deacon by the name of Benjamin Merrill. He was in the church where John Gano was the pastor. And it was Benjamin Merrill who first defied the British, who first said it is not right for the Baptists to have to pay taxes to the Church of England. And he started a movement called the Regulator Movement. And I'm sure all of you know that in June of 1771, Benjamin Merrill was executed by hanging. He was accused of treason by the British. And so continue to wave the flag of freedom. Do you know how blessed you are? Young man, it is legal for you to be here because you live in a nation that understands that freedom is more important than anything else. Sir, when I was in prison, there was one passage of Scripture that sustained me, and it was the word of Holy Writ that you read a few moments ago from the Gospel of John, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, I must continue on my way to Sandy Creek. I don't think I'm far. But I wanted to ask you something before I go. I've always wondered about this. Because I've always heard that when the battle for independence started in Lexington and Concord, that a few weeks later, there was a rider in the southern colonies who stopped somewhere not far from the home of Benjamin Merrill, on a pleasant ridge between Abbots and Swearing Creeks. And he shared the news of what happened up in New England, of the 8 brave patriots who stood before the British and were slaughtered like animals. My understanding is, when the brave patriots who lived at that settlement, when they heard what those courageous men had done up north, that they claimed the name of Lexington because they were patriots, because they believed in freedom, and it was a full year before the Declaration of Independence. I've often wondered what happened to that little settlement. I've often wondered what happened to those settlers. Would any of you know? Have you, any of you heard in North Carolina of a settlement named Lexington? Don't be bashful. You can tell me. Where do you live, young man? You live in Lexington. Is this Lexington? Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize what this means? You are in Lexington. You are Baptist. You are doubly free. You have every reason to stand and to proclaim the blessing of freedom. We are free to worship. We are free to know. We are free to allow God's Spirit to lead us. Why don't you stand and sing some more and proclaim the blessing of liberty and freedom? Amen and amen.